We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
That's if you're it. Here for the facts, you're at the wrong
You're the wrong podcast. We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Face Off of Fleming and Fowler.
Ooh. That was, we'll work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on our enthusiasm next time. How was your week this past week?
It's good. First week of the new year. Feels about the damn same. Can't lie.
Yeah, I agree.
Gifts.
You said what now?
Have you had any radical shifts? Do you feel new year energy?
No, I still feel same last year's bullshit.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. People are trying my boundaries.
Yeah, already?
Yes, already. Yep.
What? How?
I've had to block a few people. People are just, I think people tend to forget that we are grown adults. And I think sometimes people often, because I think I struggle with this too, or have struggled with it in the past. You know how you want to have control over other people's actions.
Yes.
And you want to tell people when to get over something, when to respond, how to respond, all that kind of stuff. Oh, it's not that serious. Oh, why don't you just ignore it? Why don't you just move on? You know, kind of stuff like that. And I just find it interesting that people forget that when things happen to you or situations occur, you don't get to control how people respond. You can control what you can control, and what you can't control, you can't control. And so I've had to this week really stand firm on the boundaries that I've created with people. And some people were notified about said boundaries. Some people were just cut off. And I'm not going to explain further to the person to people. I'm not. Not going to do it.
I feel like in this day and age, like I was talking to one of my friends about this too, because she didn't have a falling out with someone, but someone was acting in a way towards her that she was like, this is not healthy for me. This is not something I want a friend. I need to distance myself. And that person would like send her just weird text, not like the, I don't know, I feel like if you want to talk to someone, just be like, hey, I feel like stuff is weird, do you want to talk about it? Or is like, there's something I did, then just the like, I'm gonna like your stuff on Instagram, I'm gonna send you DMs, I'm gonna send you a TikTok, like that shit's just gonna piss me off.
Yeah. And it's people who, yeah, it's like people who you know how like when you used to get in trouble from your mom, and instead and she was in the wrong, and instead of her apologizing, she'll be like, you want to go get something to eat?
Oh,
no.
That is my coded. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I don't know why you're
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so yeah, I've definitely had to stand firm on my boundaries. I'm like, we're only like 7 days in, dude. Like what is this what's happening this year? Because we're only in day 7. Like I needed you to calm down.
Maybe we'll front load the bullshit. You know?
No, I'm just not going to deal with it at all. Like,
stand on business.
I'm too close to 40. And I'm telling you, that light bulb, that another decade light bulb is already on. And I can't, like, it's like once you see, you can't unsee. Mm-hmm. And so I can't, I can't go backwards. So
that's the shittiest feeling is like, man, if I hadn't have come to this realization or seeing this thing, I could have just let all this shit go, but now that I know, I can't let it go, so here we are.
Exactly. How was your week this past week?
My week is fine. Oh wait, is that what you just asked?
Yeah.
It's good, except for I don't know if you've ever had a filling fall out of your mouth. Do you have fillings in your teeth?
Of course.
Okay, yes. Mine fell out, and it is the worst pain of my life because it now there's just like access to the nerve of my tooth. So like cold air hits it, and it's like I have Tourette's and like screaming curses at people respectfully.
Right.
At my patients too. I like, and you know, I can't shut the fuck up. I'm just talking all the time. And so that's been like a super fun thing that's going on this week.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Are you getting it fixed anytime soon?
So I don't know if you know this, but I'm currently in a very small town, and once you know it, there's no emergency dentist available. So hopefully tomorrow someone will take pity on me and fix it, but I'll keep you updated.
I was going to say, you just didn't call your mom to say, hey, I need you to make me an appointment.
Usually, yes. Usually that is what I do. Actually, the dentist is the one doctor that I'm in charge of because I'm there so often. She has all my other doctors. Yeah, I'm a grown-up.
Gotcha.
I'm 30 almost, so I can make a fucking dentist appointment.
But doctor, let's see you do one.
No thanks. No thanks. Every time I'm like, can I make an appointment online? Why do I have to talk to someone? Why can't I make it online?
Yeah, it's like the uncomfortableness of like having to give a person your information over the phone that like, no matter what age you are, you're just like, this is not my job to do this. This is my mom's job to call. I don't care how old I am. Like, I need to make an appointment. And then as soon as they say, well, what's your appointment for? Why are you in my business? I need to make an appointment. That's all you need to know.
You know what's so. My mom's go-to? I'll be like, hey, I need this appointment. I'm having all of this trouble, right? Me to do saying this so that she'll do it for me because she's such a sweet and caring person. So then this lady, always, I get a call from her and she's like, hey, don't hang up. I'm on the phone with the doctor. I'm going to patch you through. She puts me on three-way every time. And she'll be like, hi, I'm here. And then I look like a loser, like child. And she's like, this is my daughter who's 30 years old and she's on the phone. I have to support every time. And then I have to be like, hi, this is my information. I get so upset.
That's so funny. Cause I actually don't mind doing that. Like, to me, I feel like it's the other way around for me. Like whenever my mom has doctor's appointments or my sisters or friends, they'll call me. I'm the one that they call and they're just like, hey, yeah, I'm at the doctor's office for such, 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 such. What does this mean?
It's because you have a good white voice too, like a telephone voice.
I do. I do. And I can turn the pitch up when I need to. And when I need to put it back down, a lot of times people don't realize how I can sound and how I can code switch a lot of times, you know?
I've heard you on the phone. It's very convincing.
Yes, absolutely. I can sound very, like, extremely professional when I want to.
Want to come for physical therapy? And I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm. Oh. If the pitch of my voice is super high and nasally, just know I'm not being authentic with you.
Oh, yeah. That's like when you see people out. I'll be talking like this every time, and my friends will turn to me afterwards because I'll see someone, and I'll be like, oh, my God! Huh? Who is that person? Who is that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Why talk up here? I'm down here.
Yeah. Because my voice is very deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. My voice is very deep, and I'm just like, yeah, no. And then I'm just, hi, how? Oh my God. Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We need to do brunch. I know. It's like, have you seen on TikTok or Instagram the personality of corporate Aaron? Oh, Alyssa. I will send you a bunch of her like videos. Okay. So her name is, I think it's Aaron Beasley. I think that's what it is. I think that's her real name. Mm-hmm. And so she's mocking like real people in corporate America. And so she's like, if you guys don't know my name, I'm Aaron from the McManagement of McManagement. And, you know, let's circle back. And she does that deep, like swallow. And then she's always like messing with her hair and messy. It's freaking hilarious. Corporate Aaron. Hilarious. You need to watch her. Oh my God.
Be in corporate America. I could not do it.
You're currently in corporate America.
Okay. But like, here's the thing about working in a hospital. It's a corporate structure, but you don't have to do that like weird corporate talk bullshit. Like it's the medical speech. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that, like, I had to listen to Sophia's work call from like a jobs ago she had. And I probably for 5 minutes, I was sitting there like, you have to listen to this. No one's saying anything. It's just words. Right. They're just talking in word speech. I don't know what anyone just said. She's like, yeah, this is what I have to do all day. And I was like, I'd kill myself. Are you kidding me?
It's horrible. Like, working in corporate America, and when people use these, oh God, it's so triggering even now. Words like, you know, phrases like, let's circle back, and we're circling the drain, and, you know, let's put a pin here, and, you know, I just want to, like, bang my head against the hardest brick wall that I can find. I hate it. It's absolutely hate corporate America.
To say nothing. Like, the TikToks where people would explain their corporate jobs in these, like, long, and it meant nothing. They don't do anything.
Corporate Erin, I'm telling you, this girl should win an Oscar. And it makes it even funnier because she's Black. And she should win an Oscar for her performance, because I will literally watch hours upon hours of her videos, and it's triggering, but I can't stop watching. It's just too good. It's too good.
Okay, you'll have to send it to me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being on the phone and code switching and all that kind of stuff, I want to start right at the top on this subject. So on TikTok, as you know, it's evidence-based society. This one particular doctor, he posed a question to the social media community. And he was talking about, he wanted to preface the video by saying, I'm not racist. And I'm not saying that the man is, but I don't know why you need to give that disclaimer. But anyway, he's a white guy. And so he basically said, I always notice that when I have African-American or Black patients, that they're always on the phone every time I come in to do an assessment and stuff like that. And I just want to know from you guys' perspective, why are Black people always on the phone when they're at doctor's offices and the ER, things of that nature? So a lot of the discourse in the comments and stitches in his video were basically kind of calling out his bullshit, really, as if he didn't know where the fuck it came from. But also, too, a lot of Black healthcare workers were also, you know, kind of giving the obvious explanation of the fact that a lot of times Black and brown patients do not feel safe. They do not feel heard. And they want to make sure that someone else is, number one, witnessing what they're hearing, but also, two, you know how when you have that one family member who's in the medical field, whether it be a nurse, a CNA, a PT, an OT, a speech therapist, somebody in the medical field, you know they've heard these words, these terms before. And so they do it as a safety measure. But it was just kind of fascinating that as a white doctor, instead of you asking your Black patients that, you would bring the subject matter to social media.
Yeah. And I just feel like you could have problem solved that.
True.
Done some critical thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe ask that nice Black nurse who's always giving people hugs and everyone likes to be around.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I think we are in a day and age where social media is running, you know, America at this point, right? With the amount of information that we have, most people will come to social media before they go to CNN. They'll go to social media before they Google search anything, right? And so as a physician, I think I'll play devil's advocate. On one hand, I think it was awesome that he brought that conversation to the forefront. But I think also too, hopefully, because I don't know this to be true, hopefully he has had the discourse already with his Black patients and then just wanted to see what social media had to say.
Yeah.
But he didn't say that in the video. But I hope that from this situation, he then goes back to understand the implicit bias that resides in the healthcare industry, especially when it comes to Black and brown women, or Black and brown people in general, not just women, but Black and brown people, and why Black and brown people feel the need to have a backup when it comes to their healthcare. It's rooted in racism.
Tuskegee, bitch.
Thank you.
Dumbest saying.
Thank you. Like, well, Black people don't want to get vaccines. I wonder why.
No shit. And then whenever you market something towards Black people, it's experimental and it gives them diseases.
Exactly. Which is why when we talked about a couple episodes ago about the whole sickle cell potential cure, and yeah. I'm like,
you're like, here's this.
Exactly. Like, since when the hell do y'all ever want to cure something that actually affects Black people?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep. And while we're talking about social media, I just need everyone to stop being embarrassed when they bring up a topic of conversation and they're like, I've done it myself, where I'm like, oh, I read this article. Actually, no, it was a TikTok. Like, bitch, you just saw it on TikTok. Everything we see is on TikTok. Every piece of information I hear from anyone at this point, it's either a podcast or a TikTok, and I'm assuming it was a TikTok because no one's got the attention span anymore. So,
yeah,
don't be ashamed. And don't, I feel like older people, like, I want to say, like, 50 and up, when they hear TikTok, they're like, oh, like, it's so childish. Like, you're, like, on Club Penguin or some shit. I was in a fucking teen chat room and I heard this bit of information. TikTok is a valuable resource.
It really is. I mean, I think, you know, the way that social media has taken over every industry. I mean, you used to go to a restaurant and have to go through a drive-through to verbally give your order and pick your order up, right? Now it's to the point where all you need is an app, which is technically social media, right? You just need an app and you order it, you pay for it. All you have to do is go to the place and either pick it up or you sit in your car and somebody brings it to you. Amen. Even in the healthcare industry, you have ERs where you can sign in on your phone. They will message you to let you know when you're next in line. I've gone to urgent cares where they've done stuff like that. So it's like, yes, you can register. You can do all of these things. You can order your prescription and put your refills in through your phone. And so, I mean, it's definitely very valuable. And I think it definitely gives you a lot more information than you would have the initiative to check on yourself, because it's right there in your face. And you can scroll past it, but it's going to jump out to you versus you going to go search for it.
Yeah. I just, in the year 2024, I need everyone to say loud and proud with their chest, like, oh, I'm going to tell you this information and I got it off of TikTok. Oh, just so you know, this is TikTok information. And that's okay, because anything I tell you at this point is probably something I saw off TikTok.
Absolutely. Or you could just say social media. Just say, I heard this thing on social media and then I did a little bit more research to kind of spruce it up a bit, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, I won't be justifying myself because that's on your research, but I'm just telling you, I did a scroll. I was in a doom scroll and I saw this information, and do with it what you will. But I don't need to be on TikTok 17 hours a day. Okay.
No, definitely not. And I don't think that you should ever feel judged. Don't ever feel judged. Because I'm on it too. And it's very educational.
It is.
Thank you. I'll tell you what else is very educational. Speaking of, we're going to address this because I feel like we didn't address it too much. And the power of social media is, especially, I'm not sure what side of TikTok you're on or social media, but I've been following and keeping up with what's going on in Palestine and how I was watching specifically Motaz, who is a Palestinian journalist, and he is recording a lot of the stuff that's going on right now with the Palestinian genocide. And a lot of the videos that they've been showing have been like out of a movie. Like, it legit looks like
crazy.
The Walking Dead. It's crazy. Like, and they're not sparing any kind of, you know, graphic images. I mean, you're seeing little babies with gashes on their forehead and people with missing limbs and blood. I'm talking about it's bad. And it was crazy because as I was looking at his story, it just kind of gave me this, like, I don't want to call it a revelation, but you know how, because I'm such a big apocalyptic girl.
I do know
I'm
that.
I'm always like, right. And I've got doomsday prepare and everything. And so it was interesting because I was like, we keep thinking that the apocalypse is going to be a bunch of zombies, but the people in Palestine are legit dealing with an apocalyptic event. Like, the fact that, like, we look at what's the show that was a video game, The Last of Us. The Last of Us and like The Walking Dead. Like, we look at shows like that and we're just like, wow, I can't imagine all of a sudden one day everything's fine, the next day everything's crazy. You don't have food, you don't have water, you don't have electricity, you're trying to survive and you're walking from place to place to place. And I'm like, that's legit what these Palestinian men, women, and children are doing at this point in real time. In 2024, for the past 90 days, they've been doing this shit. And I'm like, we keep waiting on aliens. Baby, the aliens are the Israelis right now, killing people. Yeah. They're not the aliens in Miami. They're definitely the Israeli people, the Israeli army right now. And I'm just like, it's so gut-wrenching, but I can't stop watching it because it's easy to not watch it, right? It's easy to not be socially responsible and to not call for action, you know, and call for a ceasefire. And it's really easy to ignore it because it's not affecting me today in my own real world. But I think at some point in time, it's gonna come to our doorstep. It's gonna come to the United States doorstep. And that's not me, government, if you're listening. That's not me putting anything in the air because I don't have no power like that.
I'm a sweep under my own front door.
Thank you. Exactly. But I'm also still, you know, continuing to, you know, like, share, you know, a lot of the content and stuff that's happening in Palestine, because I think the reason why there's been such a big global outpour is because of the benefits of social media. Because if they don't record this stuff, how do we know it's happening? Not only just in Palestine, but in Sudan, in the Congo, you know, in all of these other different places where genocide is currently happening. It's like, social media is much bigger. I mean, I know we talk about a lot that we hate social media, but at the same time, it's so needed because CNN isn't showing what Motaz and Bassan are showing us. You know what I mean? Like they aren't showing us what's happening really in these countries, which is going to eventually affect us, you know? And it's just sad. So I'm continuing to pray for, you know, all of these men, women, and children who are continuously being murdered at the hands of people who experience genocide, which is crazy. But yeah.
So I feel like there's two types of people on TikTok especially, and it's socially informed and conscious people like yourself who are seeing this information and then getting propagated more of this socially beneficial information. And then there's people who go on TikTok to turn their brain completely off and just let it melt. And unfortunately, I am the last. No, I have not seen any of that. I'm not ignoring it. I'm just saying it's not popping up on my FYP because I'm on, like, I can't even tell you the kinds of talks I'm on. It's just like my scrolling to numb me. That's what they want. They want a sheep. I'm a sheep, baby. I'm the target audience. They're like, keep showing her these fucking TikTok trends. She'll never do anything socially responsible. And I probably won't. I'm just going to keep scrolling.
That's going to be the topic of this episode, is sheep for the slaughter.
I'm the sheep. I will be slaughtered, but I have you. This is how I tap back in. I'm like, oh, that shit's still fucking going on? That's crazy. That's horrible. I'm going to look into that because that sounds... I'm not with that. I'm not with that shit. I agree to everything you said.
That's why I started laughing, because as soon as you said socially conscious people like yourself, I was like, oh shit, she about to say she's not.
I'm not saying that I don't think it's important. I'm just saying that if we were to put our phones together on TikTok right now and start scrolling, it would be very different. Very different.
Right. We're on different sides of TikTok right now.
Yeah, we go there for purposes. I'm like, you know, but
yeah,
it is crazy. I am very worried that, which is a very double-edged sword. It's like, I'm very blessed to be so removed from that situation, or to be able to be so removed from that situation. I worry that, like, seeing that too much, being bombarded by that, would send me into a depressive spiral that I don't even think I could handle. But how selfish is that to say, like, oh, I don't want to see that, because I think that will negatively impact my mental health when people are going through it for real. So,
I mean, I think what you're saying is valid, though. I mean, I think, you know, on one hand, it absolutely is good to take a mental pause, but at the same time, the Palestinian people, the Congolese people, the Sudanese people, they don't get a pause button, unfortunately. You know, they don't get to just scroll away from it. And so I think that's why I'm continuing to watch it, because, and not just watch it, but also, you know, call for action and reach out to, you know, your local elected officials to pressure, you know, your governor, your government, your congressmen and women, your senators, all that kind of stuff, to call for a ceasefire. And I think it's sad because there are so many of us in this country, of these United States, that does not agree with what our government is doing and we've either voted for it or against it, which is not a problem because you're, I mean, whether you, just because you vote for a particular entity does not mean it's going to win. And even if you do vote and they win for the entity that you chose, it doesn't mean that they're going to do what you want them to do every single time. Right. Even if it's the right thing to do. But I think it also shows, hopefully, that they will be able to see it at some point in time that we were on the right side of history, you know? Because even speaking of the right side of history, like, you know how with regard to everything that's going on with Palestine, how a lot of people have been boycotting Starbucks, and how Starbucks has, I mean, had a decline in their stocks, and, you know, a lot of the holiday drinks that they had, that they expected to make all this money during the holiday season, they haven't made it, right? Allegedly. So, of course, I've been getting way more notifications from Starbucks. I haven't gone to Starbucks in probably like 4 months. You said what?
Really? That you're getting notifications from them?
Oh, yeah. They're every week. They're like 50% off refreshers, 75% off this. And I'm just like, y'all ain't never had these damn sales, except for when now y'all are being boycotted. But what's crazy is, even though people have been boycotting Starbucks, have you seen the crazy, like, the, first of all, the collaboration between... Are you back? The collaboration between... Starbucks and the Stanley Cups, and how people have been sleeping outside overnight for Stanley Cups?
No.
Have you been on social media at all this week?
I don't know what, my week's been crazy, but.
What side of TikTok are you on?
You don't want to know. It's not good.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, anyway, so these Stanley Cups, which are not even all that, like, I mean, it's a freaking tumbler. Like, who the fuck cares, right? It's a Yeti, it's a Stanley, it's a John Deere, I don't fucking know, but they collaborated with Starbucks to offer these particular Valentine's Day cups, which is like these pink and fuchsia pink or whatever cups. And apparently they're like $50, and people have been going crazy. And I'm like, y'all been boycotting Starbucks this entire time, and then it takes Stanley Cup to now offer you a pink version of 30 cups that you already goddamn got for you to fold and be like, I'm with Starbucks again.
Okay, and I know we're not the target demographic for Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
But what the fuck is it with water bottles and, like, middle-aged white women?
I don't know. I really don't know what it is. I mean, I have a water bottle that's from Walmart that cost me $5.
Okay.
And even when I went to, was it TJ Maxx? I think it was TJ Maxx or Home Goods. And I saw the prices for a water bottle. And these water bottles are like double digit numbers, like $50, $75, $100 for a cup.
Well, no. I hate to weigh in because I don't drink water. So I feel like I have a dog in this fight. But I just feel like there's so much hype around the Stanley water bottle. You gotta have, but then it was like, before that, it was the Hydro Flask, or it was the All-in-Wall, whatever. There's always some water bottle. I'm like, can't y'all just fucking drink water? Also, I am, along with not being socially conscious, I wouldn't consider myself particularly environmentally conscious, which means I love a plastic water bottle. I primarily drink out of plastic water bottles. I don't know what to tell you. They're convenient and they're clean to me, and I hate having to keep track of something that can't be thrown away in the trash. So I'm just confused by the Stanley epidemic.
Two things. One, I need you to be more socially conscious.
24, I will be working on it.
But number two, I agree with you. A water bottle is a water bottle is a water bottle. Like, most times you're putting, not unless you're going hiking or you're going hiking on Mount Everest. That's the only time you really need to pay attention to what type of water bottle you're using. Now, obviously, the BPA free ones, all that kind of crap, that's essential, right? But who cares if it has a straw versus a thermos at the top versus an open hole? Like, is this what we're doing in 2024? We're standing in line outside overnight for water bottles?
Starbucks cups that aren't Stanley. People are like diehard for that shit. I guess it's just like everyone has something. Some people buy the new iPhone when it comes out. Some people get a Starbucks cup.
It's all consumerism at the end of the day, because you don't need any more.
Yeah, we should all stop buying things.
I mean, that's kind of hard for me to say because my Amazon cart's kind of full right now.
Okay, and here's the thing. Amazon's horrible, but the goddamn is it.
I can't argue with that point because I'm a slave to the Zon. I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. Speaking of what we were talking about.
Speaking of slaves.
Okay, well, I guess aliens. I don't know. So did you hear what happened in Miami this past week?
I heard little inklings of some extraterrestrials. What happened?
That's all I know. You probably know more than me because you actually go to Miami more than I do.
Or Instagrammed, and anything that man does, it pops up on my feed like this. And he was like, we're not going to talk about the aliens in Miami. And I said, if anything were to land on this planet, it would be in Miami.
I mean, I just feel like them saying that it was a 10-foot alien in Miami near South Beach, I just feel like this, and I'm quite sure a million other people have said the same thing, so I'm not saying anything that's like completely new. Apple iPhones have pretty good cameras, right?
Yeah.
Samsung phones have even better cameras where you can zoom all the way into the moon, okay? You got a Samsung 3500 Ultra Z Tip, whatever. They got like 1,000 zoom in. Help me to understand why we can see someone clear across over to the moon on a cell phone, but then every time there's an alien sighting, it looks like y'all recorded this on an old school camcorder.
But isn't that even more concerning?
Yeah, because to me, that means it's not real.
To me, that means they have a way to mess with everybody's phones.
I don't even think it's that. I think you just, they're purposefully not trying to get the quality. Like, I'm sorry, you got cameras that got 50 megapixels, and you mean to tell me that this is what a helicopter has? So you can see my license plate from up in the air as a traffic helicopter police field, right? But you can't show me a digitized picture of the real alien, but you can see my license plate, which is much smaller than the 10-foot alien.
Because they're only giving us what they can give us. They're not giving us the good shit.
Well, they already testified in Congress that aliens do exist. So
that alien was out
saying,
looking for the hoochie daddies.
I'm not saying aliens. I already told you who I think the aliens are.
Well, yeah. What? No, we're not even talking. I don't want to put that out there. So don't worry about it.
No, say it. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, what would you rather happen? Like, our country be thrust into a war or an alien invasion?
I mean, I feel like America has been at war since the inception. So what would be different?
Like, war on the home front.
I mean, we're Black in America. We're always at war.
Bombs being dropped at your front door.
I know. No, I would rather neither. Well, what kind of aliens are these, though? Are they nice aliens? Are they aliens that'll probe your brain, stick their fingers in your ass? What kind of aliens?
The Miami aliens. So, like, sexy red, but scary and could kill you.
No, thanks.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you this. The more I keep watching the reality of Palestine, the more I'm convinced that I don't want to survive to see an apocalypse.
I would agree.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, no. No.
I'm not equipped, you know?
No. I get winded climbing up my 17 steps to come to my room.
I'm just like...
To come upstairs.
Period cramps, no toilet paper, like the smells would be bad. Can I floss my teeth? I don't know, you know? Those are the things.
Yeah. I can't run.
Stomach pH is very delicate. I need yogurt every day. There would be no yogurt, you know?
I could not. Speaking of what there won't be any more rumors about our girl, Halle Bailey.
I know that we come on here every week and we're like, stop speculating about celebrity pregnancies. But bitch, we fucking knew it. And I'm just...
I think Halle hiding her entire pregnancy... Well, she didn't hide it. She was selective in who she shared it with. And I pray that every celebrity after her at this point takes a page out of that girl's book to say, I'm not addressing shit. I don't care if y'all see me with the pregnancy face. I don't care if I would wear the big poofy dresses. I'm not saying shit. And I love the caption that she said, the world is desperate to meet you.
Because I live. Everyone's so in her business. And also just like, if she doesn't want to tell y'all, she doesn't have to fucking tell y'all.
Yeah. You're not paying for the baby. You're not paying for the baby. Let it go. And I hope and pray that she never shows that child's face.
I just love, don't show us. I love a secret pregnancy. Let's bring secret.
Yeah, because you know what's crazy? Before social media was a thing, and obviously this was, you know, back in the day, 80s and whatnot. I remember when you had to find out through like the National Enquirer that somebody actually had a baby. Like it was very few pictures out there of celebrities being pregnant. And I absolutely just love that she chose to just tell who she wanted to tell. She literally shot a whole movie and was just like, what are y'all talking about? Pregnant? What? No.
I love it. Not me. Couldn't be. I love it.
But shots out though, honestly, the real MVPs are her entire family and team and what's his name? DDG's entire family and team. Because they leave nothing. He's a rapper. I think he's a rapper. That's her child's father. He's a rapper.
What does DDG stand for?
Don't Doubt. I know his name is... You said Don't Doubt God? Okay, Young Thug. I know his real name. I think his real name is Daryl. So it may be his initials.
Daryl!
Yeah.
Daryl.
Yeah. But I love she named the baby Halo.
Cute.
Yeah. Which apparently both of them made songs featuring the name. So they told everybody the baby's name from the very beginning, but people just didn't pay attention.
Oh, on some Taylor Swift shit. I like it.
Taylor Swift's pregnant?
No, but she like hides things, places all the time for people to find.
Oh. I'll tell you who's not hidden anymore. What were you talking about, Gypsy Rose?
Okay. As we all know, our new favorite, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, is out of prison. Snap, snap, snaps. We were all rooting for you, girl. Everyone, literally, my favorite part about this is that she helped to murder her mother, and everyone's like, who? What? Her mom? Who cares? She's out. Woo!
Her mom deserved it!
I know! The whole country was just like, yeah, fuck that bitch. So glad you're out of prison. I've never seen America rally behind anyone like they have rallied.
Killing their mother. It really is.
So she's out and she's doing her like social media rounds. She is on everyone's podcast. She has started her own TikTok. I'm obsessed. I'm living for it. She just like, I cannot wait to follow this journey. I'm obsessed. I will give all the money to her. I will watch anything she puts out.
I agree. I'm so happy for her. I've never been so happy that somebody's out of jail because I don't think that she should have been there in the first place. Her mom was a psychopath. She had to do what she had to do to get out.
That's what I'm saying. She's a fucking survivor.
I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. Gypsy's going to work harder. She's going to survive it. That's all I'm saying.
Look, they could slap her face on a George Foreman at this point. I'd be like, I need six.
Absolutely.
I'll be making hamburger patties every night.
I hope she capitalizes on her stardom right now at this point because she deserves the world. She just does.
She commented on her boyfriend's post.
No. What did she say?
He had, I guess, posted a picture of them and all these people started talking shit. And she was like, basically, don't listen to them. Like, we know it's love and da 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 da. And yeah, the D is bomb and y'all should know. I said Gypsy.
Too much Gypsy. Too much. Pull back.
He had bomb dick game, but thank you. Yeah. And I'm happy for you.
Pull it back. Pull it back, Gypsy. We don't need to know that prison part of you.
Changed her. Prison changed her, but that's
don't make it weird.
Changes everybody.
Yeah. Don't make it weird.
But I am literally my most excited thing for this year is to watch whatever Gypsy Rose does.
Absolutely. Isn't the lady Yolanda, whatever her name is, who killed Selena, isn't she supposed to be getting out pretty soon?
I refused. Not on my watch, bitch. She's staying in jail. That is a murderer.
I honestly feel like she's actually safer in jail than out, because I feel like Mexican people are going to, they're going to hurt her if she comes out of jail.
100%.
Yeah.
See, Gypsy helped kill a psychopath, a criminal, a deserving person.
Right.
Yolanda Saldivar killed an angel, a star, you know?
Absolutely.
So, no, she can rot in prison. Thank you and good night.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rotten in prison, we just celebrated the anniversary of these thugs and terrorists in the United States who basically participated and created an insurrection and trying to commit treason and overtake and overrun the Capitol and try to kill Mike Pence as well as Nancy Pelosi with these thugs. We just celebrated the anniversary of January the 6th.
Do you want to know what's funny is that I was scrolling on social media as one does, and I didn't, you know how when there's an Instagram carousel with multiple pictures, it doesn't necessarily start you off on the first picture. Sometimes it starts you off in the middle of the carousel, so you just see random pictures. So I saw these pictures and it looked like people celebrating, and I was like, oh, cute. Like, what is this? Everyone looks like they're having such a good time. And I went to the front and it was like, in remembrance of the January 6th. I was like, oh, they're not.
Unlike.
That was close.
Yeah, never mind.
Like, they're having such a good time.
Committing treason.
What are we celebrating?
Running over the Capitol.
So,
that is hilarious.
Read between the lines, people. It'll get you.
Listen, well, speaking of read between the lines and kind of piggybacking off of January 6th, I know you saw this video that came out recently with this young man leaping over to attack a judge who was like, I think you need to learn a lesson a different way, i.e. jail. And he was like, no, nah, fuck that bitch. Did you see that?
You got me fucked up to think that I'm going to deal with that at work.
Where was her bailiff?
I'm just like, isn't there, these are people who are being sentenced to things are usually dangerous. I don't know. Should there be more space between you and the, I don't know. He seemed a little off. Did you see that he admitted he was trying to kill her and that he was, quote, having a bad day?
I did not see that, but he did say to her, my mental health is good. I'm doing better at my anger. And she said, yeah, I don't think so. I think you need to learn the lesson in a different way. He was like, all that went out the window.
She said,
and she had nowhere to run.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's scary.
That is scary. I mean, I don't think judges, I think judges get probably get attacked more than we think. But for the way that man leaped over, and I didn't see a bailiff. I saw her little clerk that was trying to punch him in the side. But I'm like, man, where was your bailiff?
On Judge Judy, there's always a bailiff. He's right there.
And don't they got guns? I mean, I'm not saying kill the man, but you could have shot him in the kneecap or something.
And then I was just thinking, like, judges have
don't shoot them.
People that have to be after them because they're the ones who are like, jail immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I could be a judge. I'd be afraid people are coming after me all the time.
Yeah, but I think most judges probably are armed at all times. I would be remiss to say that they are armed at all times. Yeah.
I would need a what's Beyonce's bodyguard?
Julius.
Thing? Julius. All the time.
I mean, you're absolutely.
Yeah, I did see that, though, and that was scary and crazy, and I just feel like there should be more in place, but I don't know.
If that judge ever thought that she made the wrong decision by sending him to jail, that proved to her that she was right. You were on the right track, ma'am.
Yeah, you're really showing yourselves. Mm-hmm. Also, I just refuse to have to deal with that shit at my place of work. I'm not doing it.
I mean, we get attacked at work. When I say we, I just mean healthcare workers get attacked by patients all the time. Even if it's a 80-year-old demented man, 100-year-old demented woman, obviously their punches don't hurt, but we still get attacked to a degree.
And the way that we all keep it pushing is insane.
Yeah, but that he appeared to be actively trying to end her life on this earth.
That is horrifying.
And then have to go, and then you have to come back for the rest of the day for other people potentially standing in front of you. That's I'd be like, court dismissed.
Your patient codes are like, you're involved with the code and it's like the beginning of the day or the afternoon and then the code is done. And then you have to go back to doing regular bullshit. You're like, I mean, I feel like my day's done. You got to call it.
I need a minute to regroup. I need a minute.
Tell patients before, I literally had to run to the room and be like, someone is dying next door. We're trying to take care of it. I'll be back. And then I come and I'm like, can I sit? That was a lot.
I got to take a breather. I'll tell you who did take a breather in the news recently. Popular comedian. We got to talk about it. God damn. Cat Williams. Oh my God.
Whoa.
If y'all have been living under a rock, Cat Williams, because he was talking about Kevin Hart, but Cat Williams did an interview with Shannon Sharp on his podcast called Club Shay Shay, which is weird, the name Club Shay Shay. Anyway.
That's been really popular in social media lately because him and Chad Ochocinco have just been saying wild shit.
I'm sorry. Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp need to come off them virtual computers and they need to be in a studio and have like an actual dialogue show, like The View, but just them two. They are comedy gold. They are hilarious. One thing that I didn't appreciate that people were saying about the whole Cat Williams interview was saying Shannon Sharp left so much on the table and he didn't ask the important questions. Hey, y'all, Shannon Sharp ain't no journalist.
No.
He's a football player who happens to do commentary. What were you expecting him to ask? Can we just be realistic here? Now, if it was Gail and she just sat there and let the person talk, then yes, we could hold Gail accountable because Gail is an actual journalist with an actual degree. But Shannon Sharp is a social media personality who happened to be a Hall of Famer football player. That man ain't asking the hard-hitting questions, nor should he want to.
Shannon Sharp is a businessman, and he said, I'm going to let this motherfucker talk and talk and talk because I can just see the reels. I can see the clips. And
that video has about 10 million views right now.
It was gold. It was gold.
It was almost 3 hours of nonstop exposure to Hollywood. And I said, this is better than the Jeffrey Epstein list. What the hell?
No one cares about that shit anymore. Do you hear this, motherfucker? Illuminati's real. It's real.
Cat Williams was, first of all, I have followed Cat Williams' career since he was on comedy, like Def Jam, Def Jam Comedy. Anyway, Def Comedy Jam. Jesus, why can't I figure that out? I've been following Cat Williams since he was on Def Comedy Jam. And he was hilarious.
Yeah.
Has always been hilarious. I don't care how many times people try to say, Cat Williams has fallen off. Oh, nobody's watching him. Let me tell you something. Cat Williams can still sell out stadiums. Okay.
Always loved Cat Williams.
He's hilarious. That man never misses. People love to bring up, he let a little 12-year-old put him in the headlock. First of all, let's be very clear. If Cat Williams would have defended himself against a child, it's a child. He would have been in the wrong.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the police. Let's just be clear. Like, he already knew he was on camera, so don't hit a 12-year-old on camera. But
that interview was probably an equal fight.
That's what I'm saying. He's already small. I think what he said, a lot of the stuff that he said was stuff that I think a lot of us have heard about the industry and about people in the industry. But I love the fact that he's calling that shit out. I love it.
And he just doesn't give a shit.
That's somebody who can't be bought.
Man, it was good. Comedy Gold. If you haven't seen it and you have 3 hours.
Yeah. It's better than Avengers.
Yes, I agree.
It was so good.
That was really good.
When he talked about Steve Harvey, he was like, this man tried to say, it's because of my wife I am this way. He was like, you said that about the first wife. I was like, I mean, we all knew it, but nobody said it. Damn.
I feel like this was we were getting a behind the curtain look at a conversation that is normally had that we've never been able to see because you don't talk about people like that in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it was like getting drunk at the company Christmas party, and you're like, oh shit. And like sitting with the CEO, and you're like, you know about all that? You know this? Mm-hmm. This. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Shit.
And I think because he's.
Let him go. Let him talk.
When Shannon Sharp, I think, was just, I don't think he was prepared for what Kat was saying. And he tried to, I don't know, for lack of a better term, help the situation. Like when he made a comment about when Kat Williams said, well, yeah, you know, you do the things that they want you to do and you act right, then you'll get a weird face shaped, light skinned wife. And he was, not Kat, not Kat. That was Shannon Sharp the whole interview. Not Kat. Wait, stall him out. Stop.
Yep. He did that perfect thing of like, I know that I can't not say something to that and not get
right. Trouble.
But I don't know what the fuck to say. Also, I want him to keep going. So I'm just going to make noises and be like, and then I'll go away.
Absolutely. When he talked to...
He told him to his face. He was like, now you have someone specific in mind. That's what you're thinking of. What I said can apply to anybody. And it fucking can.
Absolutely. I have never seen more people that he spoke about specifically come out with an iOS press release. It was a lot of hit dogs that were hollering this past week. Everybody was making statements.
I would have shut the fuck up. I would have been like, I will not say anything. No, you can't say anything. Because then you're
This is why I keep saying. And then Ludacris came out and did a whole rap. Ludacris.
Your wife. Go.
Here's my thing. Sir, if you had any street cred left, you wouldn't have made a song about the fact that this man dissed you. I mean, you wanted to, I'm a ludocrati or whatever he said. I was like, your friends are not your friends. Who let you do that? Where's your PR?
If someone came out on an interview talking shit about me, call me by name, and I know to me, I'm like, I don't give a shit because I'm still fucking rich and famous and nothing you're going to say is going to fucking, I would shut the fuck, I would just not say anything. Especially
yeah,
not about this.
Yeah.
Did you see how that worked for Meek Mill and Drake? Not great.
And here's the thing. When something is a groundswell, like this interview has been, and still people are talking about it, you have to give it at least a month for something else to happen before you say, y'all remember that conversation that Kat went, because nobody's going to care about your response.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't really that much. But I'm talking about Ice Cube, Cedric the Entertainer, Kevin Hart. I mean, Mark, I'm like, all of these people came out and said stuff, and I'm just like, I don't think y'all really realize Kat Williams just doesn't give a shit.
I hope this is the resurgence of Kat Williams. Like, in every, I want him everywhere all the time. I'm obsessed.
But see, people who actually follow, like, Kat Williams, like myself, he never went anywhere. This man is still on tour.
It's one of those things where, you know, when people will be like, whatever happened to this person? They were so great and they had all these albums and now we just don't see them anymore. And it's because someone in the industry is trying to stifle their career.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what happened to Kat Williams. And I want him like everywhere all the time on a platform, you know?
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I feel like, you know, he has been so successful and still is. Like I said, Kat Williams is still on tour. His stand-up tour, like not specials, but his stand-up, his dates that he does, they're always sold out. I did love like primetime Kat Williams when he was on everybody's TV show. Like one of my favorites was him being Bobby Shaw on My Wife and Kids and doing the triple bye-bye birdie. That's all I'm saying. Like everything he did, I don't think Kat Williams has done a flop movie yet. He has been funny, and he is, to me, he's one of the only comedians, honestly, and especially him and Bernie Mac have been two of the comedians that have been consistently funny in everything they have done. I have not seen a moment yet where Kat Williams was not funny.
And it can't be that people just put him in perfect roles. I think he is just so good at executing whatever role he has. Like, he can change.
Absolutely.
He's just always spot on.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree 100%. But that interview was one for the book. So go on YouTube and...
That's what he did. It was so good.
You know how somebody keeps making, like, the calendar of events that happens for the year or whatever? And they were like, damn, we're not even... 2 days in, and here come Kat Williams. He's for January. I'm like, absolutely. He sure is.
It was a great start. Man.
Yeah. What were you talking about Alaskan Airlines?
I don't know if anybody else saw. So I fly. I'm a flyer. I've been on a plane.
Me too.
My big fear on a plane, that fucking emergency door opening while I'm in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened on an American Airlines? I think it was a 737 flight.
Alaskan Airlines.
What did I say?
American.
I meant Alaskan. American. Please don't come for me. The fucking door flew off the plane.
That's crazy.
And supposedly 20 minutes after they took off, some other part of the plane also flew off. What do you do? What do you do in that situation? I'd be scared for my life.
Okay, what do you think the, not settlement, but like emotional damage, financial breakdown would be for those passengers?
So here's the thing. Here's what I would do personally after a lot of counseling and maybe like a fucking reclusive like state for a couple months. I would present my social media history and be like, look how fun and full of travel my life was, and you've ruined it because I can never get it again. That's trillions of dollars. Trillions. Yeah.
Because planes are already scary enough, and when they make all these weird noises, you don't know what they mean. Like, now listen, your little box Chevy can make noise all day long while you're riding up and down these highways, but at least you're used to these noises.
Also,
but
can't lower than the ground. I'm already on the ground.
Thank you. The most you're going to do is crash into a body of water, a tree, or maybe an open field, hopefully, right? But for a whole plane, baby, you're coming down, and you're coming down fast.
That literally is in, how does that happen? And you know what? That's why they never tell you when you sit in the emergency row, they're always like, hey, in an emergency, do you think you'd be able to open this door? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I can fucking open a door. Never have I ever heard one of those people say, hey, this door may fly the fuck off of the plane while we're in the air and suck you completely out. Is that okay? No, that would not be okay.
I did hear something allegedly that the two seats that were in that area, the reason why they were empty is because two people actually missed their flight. And this is all alleged, because I don't know if it's true or not, but I did see on Twitter, this one guy showed like the actual confirmation of the flight and the time, and was like, yeah, it was actually me. I missed my flight. Like, could you imagine sitting right there and then that happening? Like,
and y'all say God isn't real.
That's, man, you better lift your dirty hands and give God praise.
That is wackadoodle. I also, the fact that, I mean, I don't know, I haven't been in that situation, so maybe I would, but the fact that people had like were able to take out their phones and record, I would have just been praying, crying. I don't know,
girl, I definitely wouldn't have been a photographer at that moment.
And that's why when that plane says fucking keep your seatbelt on, you keep your seatbelt on.
Keep your seatbelt on. Because if you didn't have your seatbelt, you would have fell. Ooh, Jesus. And they were 10,000 feet in the air. Lift your dirty hands and give God thanks.
Wait, if you got sucked out of a plane that high in the air, would you just go unconscious immediately and then hit the ground and die? Or do you think you'd be awake on your fall down?
I think you'd be awake on your fall down, and right before impact, your body will try to protect you and you would pass out.
Oh, shitty.
Because you know how people do on like the roller coasters and like the slingshot and stuff, where they're going up in the air so fast, the adrenaline takes over and then they pass out, but then they wake up again. I literally think you'll do that. I don't ever want to find that out, but I think that's what happened. What would happen?
Oof. But yeah.
That's crazy. Thank God nobody was killed or injured or anything.
They're about to get good settlements.
Oh, absolutely. They don't even have to sue. Alaskan Airlines is going to be like, everybody who's on that flight, you get all the points forever. All the points forever.
Okay, if Alaskan Airlines was like, we'll give you $100,000 settlement or free flights for the rest of your life, what would you take?
I think you would have to give me free flights, not on Alaskan Airlines, because I'm not going back.
I ain't fucking airline anymore.
Yeah, you're going to have to give me a voucher to Delta, because this doesn't happen on Delta. Delta would never.
I'm fucked up enough. Like, yeah, I'll take the flights. Forever. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you can do some damage with some flights now. Like, that's... Yeah. But not on Alaskan Airlines, though. I wouldn't fly on the same airline.
And supposedly that, like, model plane has a lot of issues. So they say, don't book a 737.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, 757, 777, sure, but not a 737. Don't know why.
I want to go on those what are those biplanes? Emirates Airlines?
Yeah, those look nice.
Whew, there's like a whole mini hotel in the sky.
Let's go. Where are we going to go? Dubai?
Let's do it.
Why not?
We're already going to Africa this Amen. Year, so, and Tokyo, so let's put it on the list of other international places we're going to go.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have much PTO right now, but I'm going to conserve.
There you go. We'll I'm work conserving. Up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you need to talk about before we talk about what we're watching?
No.
What have you been watching this week?
I'm watching The Crown.
Like from scratch or like the new season?
I had watched it before, but then I'm rewatching like all the Diana parts. I've been on a Princess Diana kick, probably because the Epstein list came back out and everyone's talking about Prince Andrew. And I was like, I need to go back and watch. And what do you think about Prince Andrew?
Allegedly, he's a pedophile.
He is like a disgusting human being. And when you look at him and like the pictures of him and these young girls, like he's just. Ugh, like he gives you the ick, but he is so like charming in this show and it upsets me because I want him to be like a disgusting person in the show. But Diana, God rest her soul, obsessed. I'm still obsessed. She's one of those people. It's like Dolly Parton, Princess Diana, like perfect people to me. You cannot tarnish their image. They can never do any wrong. So that's how I've been spending my days.
Yeah, Dolly Parton is definitely. She can't do no wrong.
No.
Dolly Parton could say the N-word, and I'd be like, no, she didn't.
Like something to someone.
I'd be like, and what did you do to Dolly to make her say that?
yeah, soft A or hard R. Let's be real. What did she say?
She Even would've... if she said hard R, because she's from, isn't she from Arkansas or something like that? Georgia, somewhere. Something from like, Bobbleville.
Was it a song lyric? Maybe she slipped.
I wouldn't believe you. Not my Dolly? No.
She would never. What are you watching?
I've been watching First Wives Club with the TV show, not the movie. The TV show with Jill Scott, Ryan Bethe, and Michelle Boudreau. I think is her name.
No, I've only seen the movie. Love the movie.
Oh, the movie is amazing. Absolutely amazing. You don't know me.
I've never loved a group of white women more than I do in that movie.
You know what's crazy that you say that? First Wives Club, the movie, is colorless. That's a colorless movie.
Okay.
Like, yes, there's white women, but I just feel like that movie goes beyond the boundaries of color. Like, every race of people can identify with what they went through.
Yeah.
It's a classic movie. Diane Keaton, come on now. Oh, Bette Midler, come on. Susan Sarandon, come on. Not Susan Sarandon. What's the other
one? It's Bette Midler,
Goldie Hawn, Jesus. Yes. But
is
it was
based on the same thing?
Is who?
Is the show based on the same thing? Like it's the same concept?
No. It's this show follows three friends who are they all met in college or whatever. And so Jill Scott, she plays a singer, like a Grammy Award winning singer, which I'm like, yeah, that's you in real life. But what's weird is she doesn't use her own voice. I think the young lady that sings all the singing stuff for her is Ayanna George. But and she can sing. She's a beautiful voice. But I'm like, it's so weird to see Jill Scott lip syncing because I'm like,
just saying.
You're Jill Scott. What the fuck? Just saying. But maybe it would have been more money if she would have sung and that the show would have had to pay her. So they're like, we're going to let you lip sync, bitch. But, and then, so she plays the singer and she's kind of like trying to rediscover her life because her and her husband are getting a divorce and he's basically trying to ruin her life by blackballing her in the industry of, you know, entertainment. And then, Ryan Bethe's, who's Sterling K. Brown's wife, she's a lawyer and she's married to a guy who's running for the Senate and she's not happy in her marriage, but, she's trying to do the best that she can because she was a lawyer, like a high powered lawyer, and she stopped working to try to support his dreams. And then, exactly. So then Michelle, I think her name is Boudreau or Boudreau. I can't remember her last name. But anyway, she is an orthopedic surgeon who her husband cheated on her and they're kind of going through this divorce, get back together. They have two young kids and stuff like that. So it's just going about the journeys of their regular life. So to me, it's kind of like a black version to a degree of like Sex in the City without all the style and clothes to a degree. Okay. It's really good. It's hilarious. It's really, really good.
Okay, because I saw it and it like, respectfully, I didn't know if it was going to give, like, massive Tyler Perry vibes. Do you know what I mean?
No, no, definitely not.
I'm going to watch. What the fuck is wrong with my mouth? It's been on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I keep seeing it, but I just didn't know. And I just have the image of the movie, and I'm like, I don't want to taint that because I loved the movie so much.
No, it's not anywhere similar to the movie. It's not.
Okay.
But it's really good. It's a real good, like, chick flick kind of, like, sisterhood friends show that you can watch with your girlfriends.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not like a Living Single or like a Girlfriends. It's not like that at all. It's very much so. To me, it's kind of like a black version of Sex in the City to a degree, but way better.
Love it.
Yeah.
What I want is a show about, like, a group of friends, like 30 to 40, and half of them are getting divorced. Half of them have been divorced when they were, like, in their late 20s, and now they're dating again, and half are just, like, having kids. Like, I want them all different areas of life trying to figure it out. So if we find a show like that, that's what I want.
Wasn't that, like, Insecure?
Kind of, but no kids, no divorces.
Oh.
I do miss it.
Love Insecure was just greatly written. Greatly
also,
written.
Also, okay, I think at the moment in time when it was coming out, like, it was just a perfect storm. Like, it was the perfect mm-hmm. time, the perfect people, the perfect, like, perfect everything.
Yeah, I think that's why I love sometimes TV, because you know when a show has made an impact, when you cast it so perfectly, where even when you see the people, like, you can still separate the person from the character. Like, I feel like Girlfriends was perfectly casted. Living Single was perfectly casted. Insecure was perfectly casted. Like, even though all of these were, like, iterations of each other and, like, you know, progressions, like, this is, like, Living Single started it off. This is the 90s. And then this is the 2000s of Girlfriends. Then this is the 2000, you know, teens/20s with Insecure. And I just feel like every character was believable on those shows.
Yeah.
And so relatable.
Yeah.
It was just good TV. Just great good TV. TV.
I'm waiting for, I want good, like, you know, I want a good show again. Like, I don't need a good Netflix show. Like, I'm missing my good, like, week by week show. What is mm-hmm. that called? I don't know. Whatever. But
Abbott Elementary.
Okay. Oh, can't wait.
It's coming back next month. It's coming back next month, though.
Okay, good. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm ready. I think the strike obviously kind of got away from a lot of people being able to catch up on their shows and stuff. And again, social media, we talked about this in the very beginning of the episode. Social media has become like TV because people are get ready with me's and then people are going live and they're staying live for hours and it's crazy.
Well, yeah, and I don't watch, I mean, I haven't watched as much TV because I'm like, I'll get on TikTok or something. And by the time you look, I'm like, oh shit, it's already been an hour. Like, let me go do
mm-hmm.
that or whatever. So that is a yep. good point. Or, yeah. Yep. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Great.
It's crazy. Anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
No.
Oh, I do just want to say this. I know we talked about this a couple of podcasts ago. I still need y'all help finding my massage therapist. I don't know where he is. I have scoured Google
to find him
and I can't, and I'm not giving you guys his name. I'm not giving you his name. But I need y'all to help. I need y'all to like, share, comment this video. We're going to post this on our Instagram and on our TikTok. I need y'all to help me find my massage therapist. So if you are a black male in the San Antonio area who just recently quit your job or maybe was terminated, I don't know, from San Antonio as a massage therapist, I need y'all to find me my massage therapist and just bring them to me or give me their numbers, information, and I'll let you know if it's actually them or not. That's all I'm saying. Okay, whatever you've done, you're frozen. Well, that's another episode. We do apologize for the technical difficulty. As y'all know, Fowler is on location right now because she's an FBI agent. But anyway, y'all have an amazing week on purpose. And y'all remember to spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. I think she's coming back in now.
My phone got too hot.
What did you do?
My phone was like, emergency, your phone's too hot. And it shut off.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm sitting here like, Fowler, you're frozen. You're frozen. I even text you. I was like, you're frozen. So I had to try to end the episode.
No. Good now. We're good now. I think it's because I had the charger plugged behind it. And
okay.
It just got too hot. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I don't even know what were we talking about?
You're talking about finding good,
but you're my massage therapist.
Your massage therapist. I'll cut that out.
Don't say his name.
I won't say it. Say his name. I won't say his name, but you're like, find my massage therapist, but I'm not going to give you any information about him. You just have to find him.
That's right. I just need you guys to, if y'all know a black man who's at least 6 feet, who's at least 185 pounds, who has quit his job as, or just got a new job as a massage therapist in the greater San Antonio area, send him this video so he can contact the Face Off podcast and I can get my massage therapist back. I have been so miserable without him. This was not on the 2024 bingo card.
Find that man. You know what? I'll start.
Find that man.
I'll look.
Thank you.
But if
I appreciate you,
I'm gonna get Josh first, and then I'll tell you where he's at.
That's okay. If whoever finds him, I will pay for you to get a massage. How about that?
Oh, okay.
A 50-minute, bitch. A 50-minute, not a 90. A 50-minute.
Okay, cheap, but it's fine.
Allegedly. All right, anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
No, we're going to have a great week on purpose.
Yes. Y'all make sure y'all continue to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off.
We got them, maybe. I don't know.
No, we didn't. Not at all. Not in the least.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday where new episodes are released. It's The Face Off.